The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook narration presents Night Train Reconciliation. At 11:47 p.m. on a Tuesday in late October, Clara Mendez stands under the wet concrete ribs of West Ledger Station. Her ticket is open on her phone, her train card key fob hooked around one finger, and the order of the route running silently behind her teeth. Briar Street, Old Canal, Mercy East, Juniper, Halewick, Lark Avenue, six stops, same as last Tuesday, same as the Tuesday before that, same as every late shift since the records office moved her team to the West Ledger building and decided that flexibility meant leaving at night with her eyes aching from document glare. The platform is sunk below the city, cut between walls glazed black by weather and brake dust. Above it, apartment towers and hospital wings press close enough to turn the sky into a strip of bruised blue. Below it, the rails tick and hum. The air smells of rain dragged in on coats, machine oil, cheap coffee, damp wool. Everyone has a private face at this hour. Clara is 35, old enough to have lived alone long enough that the routines have stopped looking like routines to anyone but her. She audits missing fields and bad scans for a documentation vendor that contracts with hospitals, insurers, transit authorities, whatever institution wants old human mess converted into clean, searchable records. Her work is noticing when a date is wrong, when a name is duplicated, when a signature belongs to a different hand. She is good at it. She is tired of being good at it. Her brother knows the schedule. He is younger, practical, and patient in the way a person becomes patient after years of choosing it again and again. On late nights, she sends him a check-in after Lark Avenue, just the usual. Six stops, off train, walking. He sends back something useless and steady like door text when in. It is not an emergency protocol. Clara hates the shape of that phrase. It is a continuity check. A shared mark on the evening that says the same train exists for both of them. Her phone shows the time. 11:47 p.m. The inbound train breathes into the station with its lights shivering along the wet rails. Brakes squeal, then settle into a long metallic sigh. The doors line up with the yellow platform marks. Clara is already moving before they open, phone in left hand, fob in right. Work bag tight against her hip. The fob is black plastic, worn smooth at the edge from her thumb. She taps it once against her palm, once against the phone case, once against the seam of her bag. Ticket, phone, fob, route. The doors slide open. Inside, the car is crowded but not full. Late workers, hospital staff, two construction men with dust on their boots, office people hollowed out by fluorescent hours. Clara takes a standing place near the second set of doors where she can see the route display and the reflection in the dark window. The regular passenger is three seats down, as usual, in a charcoal coat with a narrow collar and a silver ring on the left hand. Not a friend. Not even a nodding acquaintance. Just a repeated detail in the commute, like the scratch across the route map or the heater panel that rattles after Old Canal. The conductor steps in from the next car as the doors close. He is broad through the shoulders, gray at the temples, uniform cap low enough to shade his eyes. He scans tickets with the professional boredom of a man trained to keep his face empty while strangers bring him their worst 10 seconds. Clara raises her phone. The scanner chirps. "Thank you," he says. His voice is even. Not warm. Not cold. A door closing with manners. The train pulls out. The tunnel takes the windows. Clara's reflection floats over black glass, dark hair scraped back, brown eyes too fixed, office badge turned backward on its lanyard. She tucks the badge into her coat. She does not like her name visible in public at midnight. The route display over the doors glows pale blue. Briar Street next. Her phone gives the same soft tone, She keeps the transit app's route assist on at low volume, a feature meant to repeat announcements and platform changes for riders who want them in hand as well as overhead. Clara uses it as a second record. The car speaker says Briar Street. The phone says Briar Street. The screen says Briar Street. Three sources. Alignment. She exhales through her nose. This is the lay of the night. The 11:47 p.m. train leaves West Ledger, makes six public stops, and puts Clara at Lark Avenue with enough time to clear the gate and text her brother before 12:25 a.m. The check-in is not superstition, no matter what it looks like from outside. It is a timestamp, a witness, a small proof that the route, the city, and Clara Mendez have all arrived in the same order. If a detail slips, she tests it. If the system changes, she verifies the change. That is the rule that keeps old paperwork dread from turning every shadow into a verdict. Tonight the goal is ordinary. Ride six stops. Get off. Send the text. Go home. At Briar Street, the train opens into a wash of platform light. People enter with rain on their sleeves. A woman in green scrubs leans against the pole and shuts her eyes. The conductor moves down the aisle, murmuring thanks. Please clear the doorway. Tickets ready. The regular passenger folds one hand over the other. Silver ring left. The doors close. The overhead speaker clicks. Old Canal next, it says. The phone echoes it a breath later. Old Canal next. Clara's thumb moves once over the fob. Good. The city compresses around the train. Tile walls flash past. Advertisements in the tunnel appear in cut pieces, teeth whitening, legal help, a winter coat sale, then black again. Clara watches the rote display instead of the ads. At Old Canal, a man with a bike tries to wedge through people who refuse to become thinner. Someone mutters. The conductor's voice stays calm. Step in or step off, sir. We are not holding. The bike clears. Doors close. Mercy East next. Clara's phone stays warm in her hand. A message from her brother sits above the transit app, sent at 11:39 p.m. You on late train? She has not answered yet. She answers after boarding sometimes, after Lark always. Tonight she types with one thumb. On. Six stops. Three dots appear. Vanish. Appear. His reply comes as the train noses out of Old Canal. Good. Door text went in. She stares at the words until they blur into their usual shape. Good. Door text went in. He has used that exact line at least 100 times. Maybe not exact. Clara hates that her mind offers the correction. Exact is a dangerous word after a long shift. She switches back to the route app. Mercy East arrives with a gust of cold air and hospital badges. The platform clock passes midnight without ceremony. The car thins by a few bodies, fills by a few more. A man in a wool hat coughs into his elbow. A plastic grocery bag swings from a wrist and taps Clara's knee twice. She moves her leg away before the third tap. Ticket. Phone. Fob. Route. The conductor returns from the rear of the car. His scanner hangs from his belt now. He grips the strap near the doors and looks over the crowd without seeming to look at anyone. Juniper next, the speaker says. The phone says, Juniper next. The route display updates. Juniper. Then, under it, for less than a second, another line flickers. Transfer Platform 7. Clara's eyes lock on the screen. The line is gone. The regular passenger shifts in the seat, folds a newspaper once, though no one reads paper at this hour unless they are making a point of not looking at the world. The conductor does not move. The woman in scrubs keeps her eyes closed. No one lifts their head toward the route display. No one says that was wrong. Clara lowers her phone and waits for the app to settle. Juniper next, the app shows. No seventh stop. No transfer. Her pulse hits once at the base of her throat. She taps the route details. West Ledger to Lark Avenue. 6 stops. Final public stop, Lark Avenue. Normal service. No advisories. The train takes a curve. Clara's shoulder bumps the doorframe. The fob slips along her finger, catches on the key ring, holds. Maybe a display glitch. One bad frame. One cached service notice from a yard route. Clara works with systems built by tired people and patched by vendors who never meet riders. Screens lie in stupid ways all the time. Wrong version. Wrong feed. A stale overlay loaded in the wrong place. She watches the route display until her eyes water. Juniper arrives. The doors open. Wet air. Platform tile. A busker's violin case, closed and empty near a column. The conductor steps halfway out and looks down the platform. Clara turns to him. Is this train still 6 stops to Lark? He looks at her, then at the route display. Yes, ma'am. Lark Avenue is the final public stop. Public? The word comes out sharper than she intends. His face does not change. Final stop for passengers. Is there a transfer platform 7 on this line? A few riders hear that. She feels the small social adjustment, the public instinct to make room around someone asking the wrong question. The woman in scrubs opens her eyes halfway, then closes them again. The conductor gives Clara a polite second. 1 second. No more. No passenger service by that name, he says. Please remain clear of the doors. I saw it on the display. The display reads Juniper. He does not look again. If you need route assistance, use the help point on the platform at Lark. The doors chime. Clara stays inside. He steps back in as the doors close, and the train pulls away from Juniper. His gaze passes over her without sticking. That is worse than concern. Concern would at least be a human shape. This is procedure moving past an obstruction. Clara opens her notes app. She types with hard, tiny movements. West Ledger, Briar, Old Canal, Mercy East, Juniper. Flicker after Juniper announcement, transfer platform 7. She checks the time. 12:08 a.m. Her brother's message remains at the top of the phone, ordinary as a nail in a wall. Good. Door text went in. Halewick next, says the overhead. Halewick next, says the phone. The route display says Halewick. No extra line. The regular passenger looks up at the display and then down at their hands. It is brief. Too brief to mean anything. Clara catches it anyway. The silver ring is on the left hand. At Halewick, the platform is nearly empty. A maintenance worker in orange rain gear leans on a push broom. 3 people get off. No one gets on. The train waits longer than usual. Clara counts without moving her lips. She stops at 30. She starts again. At 43, the route assist on her phone gives a soft tone, not the usual station chime, a lower tone, service tone. The screen remains Halewick. Her phone, low in her hand, says, After Lark Avenue, continue to transfer platform 7 for reconciliation. Clara's fingers go cold around the device. No one reacts. The conductor is 6 feet away. No one reacts. The maintenance worker outside drags the broom through a puddle. The sound comes through the closed doors, faint and rough. Clara turns the phone so the screen faces her fully. The app still shows the normal route. 6 stops. Lark Avenue final. No advisory, no transfer, no reconciliation. She taps the audio icon. It is on. She taps route details. Nothing. She wants to replay the announcement. There is no replay button for the thing that matters. There is never a replay button for the thing that matters. The doors close. Clara steps toward the conductor before the train fully moves. You heard that? He braces one hand on the rail.
Heard what, ma'am?
Don't do that. The route assist just said transfer platform 7. Reconciliation. What does that mean? I cannot speak to what your personal device may have played. Then speak to the line. Is there a 7th stop after Lark Avenue? There is no public 7th stop. That is not the same answer. His eyes hold on her face for the first time. They are not unkind. That almost makes it worse. If you need account assistance, he says, use a station help point. I am asking a train question, and I have answered it. Behind him, the regular passenger stands for the next stop, though Lark Avenue is still minutes away. Their charcoal coat hangs straight. The ring flashes as they reach for the pole. On the right hand, Clara's breath shortens so fast she has to swallow to hide it. The conductor steps aside to let someone pass. The regular passenger turns a shoulder toward the door, face angled away. Clara looks at their hands. Left hand bare. Right hand ring. No. She saw left. Twice. At West Ledger and Briar. Left. She moves closer, careful not to touch anyone. Excuse me? The regular passenger's gaze slides to her, then to the window. You were on at West Ledger, Clara says. A pause. A lot of people were. You had your ring, on the other hand. The passenger's mouth tightens. Not fear, exactly. Recognition, with a lid pressed down hard over it. I don't know you. I'm not saying you do. Then please don't inspect me. Clara feels heat come up under her collar. I'm asking if you switched it. The regular passenger pulls both hands into their coat sleeves. It's late. The answer lands in the narrow space between them and refuses to become an answer. The conductor says, Ma'am? Clara does not turn. The regular passenger looks past her, not at the conductor, not at the display. Past her, into the glass where the car duplicates itself in layers. Their reflection shows the ring as a pale dot on the wrong side. Lark Avenue next, says the overhead speaker. Lark Avenue next, says the phone. The route display updates. Lark Avenue, final public stop. There it is. Public again. Not final. Final public. A word with a trap door in it. Clara's brother's check-in window opens in her mind like a station clock. Lark Avenue, off train, walking. She should be thinking about the stairs, the rain, the block with the closed pharmacy, and the dry cleaner's metal gate. She should be typing 6 done. She should be deciding whether to buy dish soap tomorrow. Ordinary next actions line up and fall away. The train slows. The tunnel gives way to platform lights. Lark Avenue is tiled in old cream and green, the colors dulled by years of wet shoes. Clara knows the missing tile near the third column. She knows the rust stain below the speaker. She knows the ad for dental implants with the smiling man whose eye has been scratched out by a bored commuter. The platform is real. The platform is hers. The doors open. Clara steps off. Her feet hit the yellow strip. The train waits behind her, lit and full of faces already returning to their own problems. She does not look back at the regular passenger. She looks at the overhead sign. Lark Avenue. Exit to Briar Road, Willett Street. Night buses. No transfer platform 7. No reconciliation. A normal platform at 12:16 a.m. in late October. Wet and tired and indifferent. Her phone buzzes. Her brother. Off? The word sits there with its question mark like a finger pressed to glass. Clara's thumb hovers. She could write yes. She is off the train. That is true in the smallest possible way. She could write almost. She could write call me. He would call.
He would hear her voice and try to make it human-sized. He would say, "Slow down." He would say, "What exactly happened?" He would say, "Maybe the app glitched, Clara." He would not mean it cruelly. She does not answer. She opens the camera and takes a photo of the Lark Avenue sign. Then the route display inside the still-open train. Then the platform clock. Then her phone screen showing the normal 6-stop route. A man edging around her says, "You blocking or what?" She steps aside. The train doors chime. Clara turns toward the exit stairs. The gate line is visible beyond the platform columns, 3 readers glowing green over the turnstiles. Past them, the corridor angles up toward the street and rain and home. She can leave. She can send the text from outside. She can put this into a file in the morning and be the kind of person who logs anomalies instead of obeying them. The phone gives the lower service tone again. This time, no announcement follows. Only the tone. A prompt without language. The train doors hesitate open. Clara looks back. The conductor stands in the nearest doorway, one hand on the door edge. He is not holding the train. Not visibly. His posture says waiting, yet his face says nothing of the kind. Clara walks to him. Why are the doors still open? Boarding is still permitted. At Lark Avenue. Yes, ma'am. The final public stop. Yes. What happens after? He glances down the platform. Cameras hang under the canopy. Black half domes aimed at the gate line, the doors, the strip where she stands. This train will proceed out of passenger service. With passengers? Passengers should exit at Lark Avenue. Should. The conductor's jaw shifts once. Please exit if this is your stop. It is my stop. Then you should exit. Is my account telling you something else? That gets him. Not much. A blink held half a beat too long. I do not have access to your account status. But there is an account status. Use the help point at the gate line. Fuck! Clara says under her breath. The conductor hears it. His expression stays sealed. The doors chime again. The train gives a small hydraulic shudder. Clara steps back from the doorway. The conductor presses the side control. The doors start to close. At the last second, before the rubber edges meet, Clara puts her hand out. Not into the doors, not stupidly, just against the metal panel beside them, and withdraws it as the sensor catches the movement. The doors reopen with a weary sigh. A few passengers look up. The conductor's voice drops. Ma'am. I am exiting. Clara says. She turns away from the train and walks toward the gate line with her phone raised, recording now. The red dot on the screen steadies her more than it should. She narrates low enough that the nearest commuters will not all hear, loud enough that the phone will. Lark Avenue platform, 12:18 a.m., train announced final public stop. Personal route assist announced transfer platform 7 and reconciliation after Lark. Conductor confirms no public 7th stop. Her voice sounds flat. Good. Flat is usable. She reaches the turnstiles. The readers glow green. People tap and pass. Tap and pass. Tap and pass. Clara hooks the train card key fob around her finger. Ticket. Phone. Fob. Route. She taps. The reader chirps red. Not the friendly error sound for insufficient fare. A deeper sound. The screen flashes too quickly for her to catch the words. She taps again. Red. The man behind her exhales loudly. Come on. Clara steps to the side, lets him pass, and uses the adjacent reader. Red. This time she sees one word. Incomplete. Her skin tightens. She tries the phone ticket at the optical reader. The gate stays locked. Red again. Incomplete route context. The phrase appears on the small screen, black text on a pale background, then vanishes. Clara gets the camera up too late. She taps the fob once more, recording. Red. Root context incomplete. Proceed to designated transfer. Now she has it. Blurred but legible enough. She zooms with two fingers, breath held. Proceed to designated transfer. The gate attendant behind the glass looks up. He is older, heavy-lidded, with a paper cup near his elbow and a tablet mounted beside the window. The public help point is set into the wall near him, a metal panel with a call button and a speaker grill. Clara steps to the window. My card is denying exit. The attendant points without leaving his stool. Use the help point. You're right there. Help point logs the request. I'm logging it on my phone. Help point logs it with transit. His face carries no malice. That is the cheap horror of it. He does not need malice. The window does the work. Clara presses the help button. The panel chimes. A soft recorded voice says, please state your access issue. My fob and phone ticket are denying exit at Lark Avenue. The reader says route context incomplete and tells me to proceed to a designated transfer. I am at my normal stop. I want the gate opened. A pause follows. Not silence. Line noise. Faraway keys. The station's wet air moving around her. A woman's voice answers through the speaker. Please hold your access device near the reader and state your full name. Clara looks at the camera over the help point. No. Tell me who I'm speaking to. Transit support. Name and department. Another pause. Shorter. I am a yard liaison assisting with route reconciliation. Please hold your access device near the reader and state your full name. Yard liaison. The words make the platform feel lower underground. Clara angles her phone so it records the panel, the gate, the reader. I am not in a yard. I am at Lark Avenue public exit. Your route context is active. Please hold your access device near the reader. Open the gate. I cannot open the gate until the account status is reviewed. What account status? Please hold your access device near the reader. Clara laughs once. It comes out wrong, hard and airless. No, fuck that. I'm not feeding you another token until you tell me why I'm locked in. The gate attendant's eyes flick to her. Not alarm. Assessment. Public disruption category. Woman at gate. Late night. Raised voice. Clara lowers her tone by force. My name is Clara Mendez. The account is mine. I am requesting a reason for denial of exit. Thank you, Ms. Mendez. Please hold your access device near the reader. The liaison knows her name now. Clara gave it. The trap was not elegant. It did not need to be. She holds the fob near the reader without tapping. The reader wakes. The screen glows. The help point voice says, closer, please. No. Ms. Mendez, the device must be read to proceed. I can see the screen from here. The screen will not display full account detail. I don't need full account detail. I need enough to know whether I am being detained. The word detained changes the air. The attendant sits up. Two commuters slow on the far side of the gate. One keeps walking after seeing the camera in Clara's hand. The liaison's voice stays level. Transit is not detaining you. Your account requires route completion before exit. My normal route completes here. Your active route does not. Who changed it? I cannot discuss account reconciliation over a public speaker. Then open the gate and discuss it somewhere with a door. That is not available from this access point. Convenient. Ms. Mendez, please return to the train. The train behind her gives a door chime. Clara turns. The same train is still there. Doors open, lit like a row of aquariums. Most passengers have emptied out. A few remain seated, faces down, shoulders hunched in the late-night posture of people willing themselves not to become involved. The regular passenger stands near the door Clara used, looking toward the opposite wall. Their right hand is hidden in the coat pocket now. The conductor watches from the doorway. The platform clock reads 12:22 a.m. Her brother's check-in window is breaking open behind her. She feels it without looking. The phone buzzes once in her hand. She glances down. You good? Not are you good? You good? His usual compression, his impatience, his worry pretending to be casual. Clara wants to answer. She wants to send him the photos, the video, the reader screen, the phrase root context incomplete. She wants to put the whole platform into his hand and make him hold it with her. The help point says, Ms. Mendez. Clara snaps her gaze back to the panel. What is transfer platform 7? The liaison waits long enough to prove she heard. Transfer platform 7 is not a public boarding location. Is it after LARC? It is part of internal routing. Internal routing for who? For accounts requiring reconciliation. Clara's mouth goes dry. What kind of reconciliation? I cannot discuss that over a public speaker. The reader beside her changes without a tap. A new message appears, steady this time. Duplicate identity risk. Root completion required. Clara goes still. The phone camera catches it. She makes sure of that. She moves closer, slow, as if fast motion might scare the words away. Duplicate identity risk. Not fare error. Not route advisory. Not app glitch. A category. A box she has seen in other systems under other names, usually in back-end notes that real people were never meant to read. Duplicate identity. Possible merge. Conflicting record. Do not release until reviewed. Her old work rises in her hands. The stale office coffee, the scanning cues, the archive tickets, the protocols for matching names and birth dates, and government identification against records that had outlived the people who created them. She has touched thousands of strangers that way, not bodies. Worse, sometimes, their official outlines, their permissions, their debts, their deaths. Why is a transit card making an identity risk decision? She asks. The liaison says, Your transit account is linked to identity verification services for secure access and misuse prevention. Plain English. Your account has conflicting identity signals. My account has my name, my card, my payment method, and my face on your cameras. Those may be among the signals under review. Among Jesus Christ. Please return to the train. Clara leans closer to the help point. No, you are going to explain why my route has a hidden stop and my exit is denied. I cannot resolve this at the gate line. Then escalate. I am the escalation currently assigned. The sentence is polished. It has no edge. That is where its cruelty lives. Behind Clara, someone clears their throat. Miss, you dropped this. She turns too fast. Her work bag slips off her shoulder, and she catches it against her hip. An adult commuter in a dark rain jacket stands an arm's length away, holding out the black train card key fob by its small metal ring. It must have slipped from her damp fingers while she was arguing with the panel. For one clean second, the night returns to ordinary civic scale. A stranger saw a thing fall, picked it up, and handed it back without asking to join the disaster. The commuter does not look at the help point, does not look at the reader message, does not perform sympathy. Their face is tired, open only as far as the exchange requires. Clara takes the fob. Thank you. No problem, the commuter says, and moves through the gate with a green chirp, swallowed by the corridor toward the street. The small kindness leaves a worse cold behind it. Clara looks at the fob in her palm. It is warm from someone else's hand. The return of it should settle something. Instead, it feels like evidence being placed back into custody, The help point says, "Ms. Mendez, please present your access device." Clara looks at the camera, then at the reader, then at the train. She presses the fob flat to the reader. The screen goes white. A progress wheel turns. One slow circle, another. The reader chirps, not red now, not green, amber. Identity duplicate risk confirmed. Early disembark denied. Proceed to transfer platform 7. A thin mechanical lock engages inside the turnstile. Clara hears it. The gate had already refused her. Now it commits to refusal. A small, intimate sound. A bolt deciding. The attendant behind the glass looks down at his tablet. His face tightens and releases. "What does your screen say?" Clara asks him. He does not answer. "What does it say?" He points to the help point again. Clara slams her palm against the glass. Not hard enough to crack anything. Hard enough to make the paper cup jump. "Do not point at the fucking help point." The attendant flinches. The shame of that touches her and dies. She has no room for it. The liaison's voice comes through the speaker. "Ms. Mendez, aggressive contact with station infrastructure may result in additional restrictions." Clara turns back to the panel. "You lock me behind a gate and threaten me for touching glass. You are not locked behind the gate. You are directed to complete the active route." "My active route is wrong." "Your active route reflects current reconciliation requirements." "Requirements set by who?" "By the identity access system." "Systems don't set requirements. People sign off." "I understand this is frustrating." That phrase, that dull little sponge of a phrase. Clara feels something in her tilt. "No," she says. "You don't get to call this frustrating. A delayed train is frustrating. A broken reader is frustrating. This is you reducing me to a risk flag and pretending the grammar makes it clean." The liaison does not respond at once. On the platform, the doors chime again. The conductor speaks from behind her. "Ms. Mendez." Clara turns. She hates that he has her name now. He heard it through the speaker, or his handheld updated, or the whole car has always known more than his face admitted. He stands in the open doorway. Beyond him, the car is nearly empty. The regular passenger remains inside, seated again, head bowed. Ring hand hidden. "If you are directed to continue," the conductor says, "you need to board." "I need to leave." "I cannot hold here." "Then don't." "The route will continue. Out of passenger service." He looks past her to the gate line, then back. "You have been given instructions." "Have I been given a choice?" He does not answer. There it is. Not villainy. Not even menace. Just a man in a uniform standing inside the space where his orders fit better than her body. Clara looks at her phone. Her brother's messages stack at the top. "You good? Clara, call me." The phone has signal. 2 bars, then 3. No dead screen. No convenient failure. She could call. The call would connect, or it would not. She could tell him she is at Lark Avenue and the gate will not let her out. He would say, "Get staff." She would say, "Staff is the problem." He would say, "Send me your location." The location would show Lark Avenue, maybe. Or it would show something else. Another data point. Another small betrayal waiting to happen. She types with her thumb. "At Lark. Access issue. Do not assume I left train." She hits send. The message turns blue for delivered, then gray for pending, then blue again as her phone hands off between tunnel signal and the station repeaters. Not failure. Worse. Uncertainty with progress indicators. Her brother starts typing. Stops. Starts. No reply arrives. The help point says, "Ms. Mendez, the train is ready to proceed." Clara faces the panel one last time. If I board, am I consenting to reconciliation? Boarding allows the route to complete. That is not what I asked. Consent language will be provided at the appropriate step. You're routing me before consent. The route completion is a safety measure. Bullshit. Ms. Mendez. No, bullshit. Say it right. You flagged me, denied exit, and now you are moving me to a non-public location so the system can ask me to agree after I'm already there. No one on the platform corrects her. No one says that is not true. The attendant looks down. The cameras stay black and patient. The train gives a final chime. Clara gathers her bag strap higher on her shoulder. Her fob is still in her fist. The edges bite into her palm. She turns from the help point and walks back toward the train. Each step feels visible. The platform cameras, the conductor, the few remaining passengers, the gate attendant behind glass, her brother's unanswered thread glowing in her hand. The route display over the nearest door reads Lark Avenue in clean blue letters. Under it, faint as a watermark and clear enough now that she cannot pretend it is a flicker, another line appears. Transfer Platform 7. The conductor moves aside to let her board. Clara stops in the doorway. The smell of the car comes at her. Damp coats, heated dust, old rubber, the sour end of a long service day. The regular passenger looks up once, and this time Clara does not ask for validation. Their avoidance has already answered what it can. She looks at the conductor. When this comes back wrong, she says, your script will be in the record with it. His expression tightens. The first visible crack. Small. Human. Please stand clear of the doors, he says. Clara steps inside. The doors close behind her. The seal meets with a soft pneumatic kiss that makes her stomach turn. The train pulls away from Lark Avenue, past the platform where she should be walking home, past the exit that has her name locked out of it, past the clock that has already broken faith with her brother's check-in. Clara braces one hand against the pole and holds the phone in the other. Camera still recording, fob active in her palm. The overhead speaker remains silent. Her phone gives the lower service tone. Route continuation confirmed, it says. Proceeding to transfer platform 7. Clara stares at the dark window. Her reflection stares back from inside the glass, layered over tunnel wall, lights, the faint shape of the conductor at the far door. She orders the fax before she lets herself breathe. Phone powered, message sent, fob active, exit denied, duplicate identity risk confirmed, transfer platform 7 ahead. She stops asking the car to believe her. She stays with the route. The tunnel after Lark is not the tunnel before it. The train stops singing against tile and starts knocking through a looser dark, the sound wider, hollower, as if the walls have stepped back. Clara lifts her phone until the clock sits at the top of the screen recording and counts the seconds under her breath. 8, 12, a hard left sway, no public stop on her commute lives in this stretch. She does not look at the other passengers. She does not look for anyone's face to confirm or deny anything. She watches the timing. She watches the reflection. She keeps the fob tight in her fist until the edge leaves a dent in her palm. Over the door, the public route display clears Lark Avenue and goes blank for a beat. Then a pale line appears under the empty blue field, thin as a cut. No station name. No apology. The conductor stands at the far end of the car, with one hand on the rail and his body turned half toward her, half toward the dark. Boundary figure, uniform, pension, script. The regular passenger has gone very still. Both hands are inside the coat sleeves now. No ring visible on either side. Clara's phone buzzes. Her brother's reply finally lands. Got you. Text when through. She stares at through until the word loses its shape, Not door text when in. Not his stupid, steady phrase, worn smooth by repetition. Through. She takes a screenshot before she can talk herself out of it. The flash of the screen paints her thumb bone white for a second. Then she goes back to the camera and keeps recording the clock, the dark glass, the useless blank root field. The train takes another switch. Metal claps under the floor. This one is sharper. Service track, Clara thinks. Or yard lead, the kind of turn you feel in your teeth. Her phone gives the lower service tone. Approaching transfer platform 7, it says. The overhead speaker stays dead. The train begins to slow. Through the window, the dark breaks into strips of work light. Bare fluorescent tubes, caged utility lamps, a concrete wall wet with seepage. No advertisements. No public tile. No map panels trying to sell dental implants or personal injury attorneys. Just raw back-end transit space, the station behind the station. The line under the route display burns brighter. This time it holds long enough to read. Transfer Platform 7. Clara inhales once, shallow and careful. Facts first. Her app speaks it. The hidden line shows it. The track length supports it. She does not need the car to believe her. The train settles beside a narrow platform poured in unpainted concrete, except for the yellow edge and a black 7 stenciled on a square column. A waist-high glass partition runs half the length of it. Beyond the glass, a woman in a navy transit jacket stands with a tablet against her forearm, dark hair pulled back. No fuss in her posture. No theatrical sympathy. A badge clipped at the chest. Beside her, a secure gate waits between two short steel posts. Only the doors nearest Clara open. The conductor speaks without raising his voice. Please take your belongings, Ms. Mendez. Clara turns to him. So you do know my name? I have been instructed to transfer you here, he says. Instructed by who? The assigned liaison. His face gives her nothing else. Please mind the gap. She looks past him into the rest of the car. The regular passenger keeps their head lowered and does not meet her eyes. One shoulder turns, just enough to refuse involvement without seeming to. Clara catches a smear of silver in the window and cannot tell whether it is a ring, a reflection, or a screw in the door frame. The train idles. The doors stay open. Air from the platform reaches in, cool and damp and smelling faintly of hot dust and brake grease. Clara steps off. The platform is shorter than a public one, built for staff movement rather than crowds. Cable trays run along the ceiling in open rows. A camera dome sits above the gate. Painted on the glass partition at shoulder height are the words, "Assisted Transfer." Not transit service. Not exit. Assisted transfer. The woman behind the glass waits until Clara is fully clear of the door. Ms. Mendez, she says. Her voice is the same one from the help point, only warmer now that it has a body. I'm the transit yard liaison assigned to your route exception. Route exception, Clara says. That's what we're calling it. It is the term in this corridor. The liaison lifts one hand toward the gate, not quite inviting, not quite directing. You may keep your phone. You may continue recording. Please stay within the marked path. Clara glances down. A line of dull white paint runs from the train door to the gate. On the concrete beside it, a smaller stencil reads Claimant Route. The word lands ugly. I'm under detention, Clara says. No. You denied my exit. Your public exit was suspended pending review. That's detention with cleaner nouns. The liaison accepts the hit without flinching. Your movement is restricted to controlled areas until your route status is resolved. The conductor remains at the door behind Clara. He does not tell the liaison she is wrong. He does not tell Clara she is right. Clara lifts the phone a little higher so the glass gate, The camera dome and the liaison's face all sit in frame. Say your name and department for the recording. The liaison gives it. Transit Yard Liaison, Overnight Access Operations. No first name. No extra opening. Just the title and the lane. Fine, Clara says. Start explaining. I can explain your access status and the available options once we are inside the review space. The liaison taps her badge to a reader set into the post. It chirps amber, then green. The train cannot hold indefinitely. Clara looks back once. The conductor has already shifted his weight toward the door controls. Public time moving on. Private time taking over. She walks through the gate. The corridor beyond is bright, in the way hospitals are bright at 3 a.m, flat and ungenerous. Glass on one side, concrete on the other. No line map, no ads. Just small black signs with white lettering. Review, operations, controlled exit. At every doorway, a reader. At every reader, a camera. The liaison leads without hurrying. Clara keeps 2 steps back and watches everything. At the first door, the liaison badges in. Then she pauses and gestures toward a second reader mounted at Clara's height. Please present your access device. My device already got me trapped. It needs to log your arrival here. Clara nearly says no. The corridor behind them has no visible handle on the gate. The train doors have already sealed. She hears the hydraulic sigh as it pulls away, leaving the platform empty. She puts the fob to the reader. Amber. A small screen wakes with her name on it. Claimant present. Then the text slides away. Clara feels the word in the back of her mouth like a bad pill. The door opens. Inside, the review space is a small room with glass walls on 2 sides, and no softness anywhere. 1 metal table bolted to the floor. 3 chairs. A wall monitor. A thermal printer tucked beneath it. On a side ledge, a paper cup stack and a sealed water bottle that has been placed there in advance, which makes Clara dislike the room more. The liaison does not sit. She sets the tablet on the table, touches the monitor awake, and turns it toward Clara. Before we proceed, she says, I need to state the limits. I can explain the root assist layer, your duplicate identity risk status, and the immediate operational choice. I cannot provide source records from other systems or discuss any other claimant profile in identifying detail. Other claimant profile? Yes. There is no other claimant. There is me. At the moment, the system has not resolved that distinction. Clara steps closer to the screen. The monitor shows a timeline in pale gray boxes. Each line carries a timestamp and a short status note. Clara reads the first 3 before the rest can blur. 11:56 p.m. Rider assist authenticated. 12:06 a.m. Parallel claimant confidence split exceeds threshold. 12:08 a.m. Assisted routing audio diversion initiated. Below that, 12:18 a.m. Early disembark attempt at Lark Avenue. 12:22 a.m. Public egress denied. Designated transfer assigned. 12:28 a.m. Transfer platform 7 arrival logged. At the top right, in a darker box, sit the words Duplicate Identity Risk, with an amber bar beside them. Under that are the signal sources. Payment credential. Device token. Gate imaging. External assurance event. The last line carries the short name of the documentation vendor printed on Clara's reversed work badge. Her stomach tightens. She touches the badge through her coat as if it might have gone hot. That source is my employer. Yes, the liaison says. You took a correction feed from my job and turned it into a train stop. The feed reopened a legacy profile with enough overlap to split confidence on your transit identity bundle. Plain English. The liaison nods once, like she expected the order. A participating record system sent an update this morning. That update made an older identity package and your current rider account look active at the same time. Same name, overlapping date markers, prior address history, credential links. The transit access layer treats that as duplicate risk until a live claimant is reconciled. Clara hears every office she has ever worked in inside those words. Package. Markers. Live claimant. Clean language with a body hidden under it. You mean your system can't tell whether I'm me? I mean the system cannot safely release a flagged account into ordinary access without choosing a profile. Safely, Clara says. That's the word you use. It is the word the policy uses. Of course it is. The liaison taps the screen. A secondary pane opens. It shows three small still frames from the train car at different times. Grainy but legible. Clara in one frame, hand around the pole, face drawn. The conductor in another. In the third, the regular passenger near the doors at Halewick. The liaison says, "You reported a discrepancy involving another rider. I want to show you what is verifiable." Clara's chest tightens at once. Shame arrives early and waits. In the still frame, the passenger's right hand rests near the window. The silver ring is on that hand. The glass throws the image back across the dark, flipping it. In the reflection, the ring appears on the left. Clara leans closer despite herself. The liaison enlarges the frame with two fingers. The passenger's real hand and reflected hand overlap just enough to make the eye commit too fast. "It did move," Clara says too quickly. "And here's the weakness in it." "It may have appeared to," the liaison says. She keeps her tone level, almost gentle and careful not to rub the bruise. The reflection angle in that car is poor. At night it can reverse small details cleanly. Clara straightens. "Don't explain my own eyes to me. I'm not dismissing you. I'm showing you one data point that resolves. One data point, not all." That is the only reason Clara doesn't throw the chair. She looks back at the timeline instead. "Then explain the seventh stop." The liaison turns the screen again. A diagram opens. Carriage display. Route assist beacon. Linked device. Gate reader. It looks clean enough to belong in training materials. "Your phone route assist is not just a speaker," the liaison says. "It's part of the guided access layer on this corridor. The same layer supports riders who need step guidance, platform prompts, alternate transfers, or staffed routing after midnight. Your fob and your phone are linked to the same account." Once the duplicate flag opened, the assisted routing layer stopped serving the public endpoint and began serving the internal transfer. The overhead speaker never said it. The overhead speaker stayed public. The route display flickered. There is a narrow assist strip beneath the public display on the cars that can wake when a linked account requests guidance. You saw that strip. Most riders do not read it. Staff are instructed not to announce internal route names in open space. Clara laughs once. It comes out raw. "You hid my detention inside an accessibility feature." The liaison's face changes by a hair. Not guilt. Not enough for that. Recognition, maybe. Or fatigue. "We used the assisted routing layer attached to your account. Same thing. The system is designed to avoid exposing flagged riders publicly." "No," Clara says. "It's designed to make the harm look discreet." Silence holds for a second. The printer under the monitor clicks to life and then stills, as if another room sent a signal and changed its mind. Clara leans both hands on the table and reads the line about the external assurance event again. Her employer. Her own day job. She spent all afternoon cleaning other people's records, flattening duplicates, forcing dates into boxes, rejecting bad scans. She can feel the office air still sitting in her hair, fluorescent and dry. "What does reconcile mean?" she asks, "when it reaches a person." The liaison does not answer at once. She reaches to the table, slides the water bottle an inch toward Clara, and leaves it there unopened. "It means," she says, the system has to select one claimant profile as authoritative for rider access. That closes the duplicate risk and restores ordinary entry and exit. And the other profile. It is suppressed from rider-facing systems.
There it is, Clara says softly.
Suppressed. An internal audit snapshot is retained.
For who?
For compliance review, if required. Not for me. Not at the rider layer. Clara lifts one hand off the table and points at the screen. Say delete. The liaison meets her eyes. At the rider layer, the conflicting version will no longer display. Delete with a blazer on.
Great.
The liaison lets that stand. Clara asks, did you touch my messages?
No.
My brother sent a phrase he doesn't use. I cannot account for private text wording. But you can account for every gate I touch.
Yes.
The honesty in that yes is almost obscene. Clara drags a hand over her face and feels the damp at the edge of her hairline. Her skin is cold. Her mind is too fast. She slows it by reading the timeline from top to bottom again. Time, trigger, diversion, denial, arrival. The steps matter more than anyone's reassurance. What happens if I don't reconcile? The liaison draws a breath and taps the screen closed. That part is handled on the platform. Of course it is. This room is for explanation. The decision point is on 7. She turns and opens the door with her badge. Clara follows, phone still up, the recording light steady on the glass. Transfer platform 7 sits one level below the review room. They take a short stair enclosed in mesh and concrete. Through the mesh, Clara sees service corridors crossing like veins, and the dark shoulder of a parked maintenance car. Somewhere deeper in the yard, an impact wrench chatters and stops. The platform itself is a dead-end bay. One track, one yellow line, one square pillar with a black 7 painted high and blunt. At the center of the platform stands a pedestal reader with a touch screen and a narrow printer slot. Behind it, a glass gate fronts a concrete passage marked controlled exit. No train waits there. No crowd. No witness except the camera dome in the corner and the liaison at Clara's side. The air is still enough to hear the ballast clicking as it cools below the rail. This is the decision point, the liaison says. Clara looks from the pedestal to the gate to the camera. You built a sacrament for compliance. The liaison ignores the word sacrament and gives her the process. If you accept reconciliation tonight, the access system will select the current claimant profile tied to your live credentials, close the duplicate risk, and restore ordinary public mobility. Your rider-visible trip history will normalize to the public route. Your entry and exit permissions will return to standard status. And if I refuse? Your account remains in restricted status pending manual review. The liaison keeps her hands folded behind her back now, formal and distant. That review may take up to 72 hours, sometimes longer, depending on source confirmation. During that period, public boarding and egress can be denied or rerouted. Some stations will require in-person assistance. Overnight corridors may not release you at unstaffed points. Clara stares at her. So either you ride over tonight or you take the city away. Those are the operational paths available. Operational, my ass. The liaison does not bristle. I understand how it sounds. It sounds like coercion. It is the only immediate resolution I can offer. The pedestal screen wakes on its own. Clara's name appears at the top. Beneath it, a block of text scrolls into place. She reads every line, lips moving once on the words she hates most. Reconciliation selects the highest confidence current claimant for rider access and suppresses conflicting route context in rider visible history. Public mobility will be restored. Internal audit retained per policy. There is a small field at the bottom labeled claimant comment. Empty. Clara points at it. What goes there? Optional note. Can I state that I object? Yes. Can I state that you denied exit before consent? The liaison pauses. Not long. Long enough that Clara feels the edge of it. Yes, the liaison says. I can enter that you object to the process order and that public egress was denied prior to acceptance. Do that. The liaison steps to the pedestal and types with two quick fingers. Clara watches the words appear. The font is small, but she can read enough. Claimant objects to process order. Public egress denied prior to acceptance. The sight of it does not make anything better. It only proves the system has a box for her complaint. Read the terms out loud, Clara says. The liaison does. Exact, calm, every phrase clipped clean for the camera and the record. Clara listens harder than she ever listened to a person trying to reassure her. When the liaison reaches suppresses conflicting route context, Clara cuts in. That means if I look at my trip history after this, it lies. It means the rider history displays the normalized public route. Lie with a better tailor. Got it. The liaison finishes reading. The screen waits. At the bottom are two choices in gray. Accept reconciliation. Decline and defer review. Clara's heart is beating too hard now. Not fast, so much as heavy. Each hit feels like an object dropped into water. She looks at the glass gate behind the pedestal. Then at the track. Then at the thermal printer slot. Then at her fob in her hand. Object. Status. Consequence. She orders them the only way she knows. If she refuses, she keeps the night intact in one sense and loses movement in every other. Not abstract movement. The train tomorrow. The gate next week. The ordinary act of getting home without presenting herself to a stranger behind glass. If she accepts, she keeps the city and loses the version of the record that still says this happened the way it happened. Observation got her here. Observation will not open the gate. Clara looks at the liaison. Print whatever outcome this thing allows. I can print the completed access artifact. Then print the fucking artifact. The liaison inclines her head once. You will need to present your fob. Clara sets the black plastic fob on the reader shelf. The machine chirps amber. Her phone vibrates with the root assist tone and the screen offers the same two choices. Redundancy? Confirmation. A trap built by careful people? She does not touch the screen yet. If I accept, she says, say exactly what you are selecting. The current claimant profile tied to your live transit credentials. Say current as in now, not true. The liaison is quiet. Say it. The liaison's voice stays low. Current as in the profile the system is choosing to treat as authoritative now. There. Not truth. Authority. Clara lets out a breath that catches halfway and burns on the way out. Fuck you, she says. Not loudly, not for theater. Just a clean statement of relation. The liaison receives it without moving. Clara puts her thumb on accept reconciliation. The screen asks for confirmation. She presses again. The pedestal thinks for 3 long seconds. Amber holds. Then the bar beside her name on the screen changes from amber to green. Duplicate risk closed. Public access restored. The printer beneath the pedestal whines and spits out a narrow strip of warm paper. The phone app refreshes in her hand. The root assist voice says, in the same neutral cadence it used to tell her Briar Street and Old Canal, route complete. Clara stares at the words until the liaison tears the paper free and offers it across. She takes it. The slip is thin and hot from the print head. Her name at the top. Timestamp below. Access status. Public. Duplicate identity risk. Closed. Rider comment. Received. No mention of the 7th stop. No mention of denial. No mention of the station behind the station. Just outcome. Clara opens the transit app with her other hand. The trip history has already updated. West Ledger to Lark Avenue. Completed. Nothing after. Her throat closes so suddenly she has to swallow twice. You did it that fast. Rider facing history normalizes on closure, the liaison says. Clara holds up the phone, showing the lie to the camera, to the liaison, to herself. I was not out at Lark. The internal audit retains the exception. Not for me. Not at your lair. Clara laughs again, and this time there is no humor anywhere near it. My lair. The glass gate behind the pedestal unlocks with a neat mechanical click. The sound is so simple it nearly drops her to her knees. For a second she cannot move. Her whole body is flooded with the ugly aftershock that comes after a threat changes shape but does not go away. The adrenaline has nowhere clean to land. Her hands start to shake. Not dramatic. Fine, rapid tremors in the fingers. She folds the printed slip once, then unfolds it, then folds it again on a cleaner line. The liaison steps aside from the gate. This exit returns you to the public corridor. Your account should read as standard at the next reader. Should. Yes. Clara slides the fob off the pedestal shelf and closes her fist around it. Did the other version survive anywhere I can reach? No. It is the first unsoftened answer the woman has given her all night. Clara nods once. It is almost respect. It is also worse than the scripts. She walks through the gate. The controlled exit passage climbs in two short turns and ends at a plain service door with a public push bar on the other side. The liaison badging the door open is the last staff action Clara sees. After that, the corridor is ordinary again. Cream tile, a vending machine humming to itself. A public map behind scratched plexiglass. Lark Avenue, or near enough to it that the architecture folds back into the version of the city people are meant to remember. At the next turnstile, Clara presents the fob. Green. The gate opens on the first chirp. The sound is cheerful. She hates it on contact. She steps through and nearly stops dead in the middle of the corridor, just to prove to herself that she can. A man in a courier jacket moves around her with practiced irritation. A woman with a grocery tote comes down the stairs and does not look twice. Public life. Restored on the surface. Her phone buzzes. Her brother is calling. Clara answers on the second ring and keeps walking toward the street. Rain smell meets her at the top of the stairs, clean and dirty at once. City water on concrete. Hey, he says at once, too awake for the hour. Jesus, Clara, are you okay? She listens hard to the cadence. His voice is still his. Warm, direct, thin with worry. I'm walking home. From Lark? Near enough. A beat. Do you need me to come down? No. You sound bad. I am bad. He exhales into the phone. She can picture him in his kitchen, one hand on the counter, the cheap clock above the stove throwing the minute forward one angry notch at a time. What happened? Clara reaches the street. Rain beads on the pharmacy gate. Tires hiss past at the intersection. The world looks exactly as it should, and none of it helps. I'll tell you tomorrow. You sure? She almost says no. The word rises and stops. No, she says anyway. He is quiet, then gentler. All right, just get home. Text when you're in. In, not through, not anything else. Clara closes her eyes for one step too many and nearly rolls an ankle on the curb cut. I will. When she gets to her apartment, she checks the building door twice with her hand before she trusts the key. Inside, the kitchen light is too bright after the street. She sets the phone on the table. Then the fob. Then the printed artifact, folded and unfolded until the paper wants to tear at the crease. Only then does she send the text. In. Her brother replies almost at once. Good. No extra phrase, no clue there. Clara takes off her coat and leaves it over the chair instead of hanging it up. She opens the transit app first. Same lie. West Ledger to Lark Avenue. Completed. She opens the recording from the gate line. The reader message is still there, shaky but legible for a second before her hand swings away. Proceed to designated transfer. Duplicate identity risk. The proof exists, only not where the system counts it. She opens her notes. The earlier entry is intact. West Ledger, Briar, Old Canal, Mercy East, Juniper. Flicker after Juniper announcement. Transfer platform 7. Below that, a later line begins with Lark Avenue gate denial and stops halfway through a sentence where her thumb must have slipped when the help point started talking. She scrolls down and starts a new note. Tuesday, late October, 11:47 p.m. boarding, West Ledger through Lark Avenue verified by public route. Then she stops. There should be a clean line for what came after. A route. A station. A set of times. A proof chain. She has the printed artifact with the closure time. She has the video from the gate. She has her own memory of the dead-end bay and the black seven on concrete. What she does not have is a record path the system will admit. She places the slip beside the phone and copies the closure time from it into the note. Then she leaves a blank line above it. An empty space between Lark Avenue and restored access. Her thumb hovers. She types unverified interval. She stares at the phrase, disgust crawling up the back of her neck. It is theirs. Process language. Cold and bloodless and almost useful. She nearly deletes it. Instead, she leaves it there. Under that, she types, access state restored at 12:41 a.m. Rider visible history, inaccurate. Then she goes back and reads the whole note from top to bottom. Public route. Blank. Unverified interval. Restored access. It is not the kind of record she trusts. It is the only one she can make. The next day at work, the office lights feel meaner than usual. Every bad scan on her screen looks like a threat with a polite font. She keeps her badge turned backward all day. At lunch, she opens the transit app twice without meaning to. Both times, her account reads normal. Standard mobility. No alerts. No messages. No trace of the night except the folded thermal slip tucked in her bag. At 5:40 p.m., she prices a car service home and laughs under her breath at the number. At 6:10, she checks the bus routes. Same network. Different shape. Same readers waiting at the end of it. By the time the office windows go black with the autumn dark, the practical truth has settled where panic was. She still has to get home. At 11:46 p.m. the next evening, West Ledger Station is wet again. Same concrete ribs. Same black glazed walls. Same strip of sky bruised between the buildings. The platform smells of machine oil, damp wool, old coffee, rain. Clara stands where she stood the night before with her phone in her left hand and the fob looped around one finger. The thin printed artifact sits folded inside her coat pocket, carried against her ribs like a splinter she does not want to lose. Before the train arrives, she opens her notes and starts a new line under the old one. Wednesday, late October. West Ledger. Access state public. She hates the phrase the second she types it. She leaves it anyway. Then she scrolls up. The blank line from the night before waits between Lark Avenue and the closure time. An empty rung in the ladder she built for herself. Above it, the public stops sit in order. Below it, the restored access note sits neat and ugly. The gap has weight now. She can feel it in the hand holding the phone. Her brother sends a message. You on late train? Clara reads it once, then again, listening in her head for the shape of the usual. It sounds ordinary. Maybe it is ordinary. She cannot use it for proof. She types back. On. 6 stops. The inbound train breathes into the station with its lights shaking across the wet rails. Doors line up with the yellow marks. The route display over the nearest car shows Briar Street next. Public blue. No hidden line that she can see. Around her, everyone wears a private face. Clara slips the phone into her coat, keeps the fob in her hand, and steps toward the opening doors. Ticket. Phone. Fob. Route. Then before she boards, one more phrase enters her mind. Unwanted and exact. Access state public. She hates that it fits. She hates that she will use it again. She steps into the car anyway, carrying the folded slip in one pocket and the blank line in her notes like a second shadow, small and quiet and impossible to close. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.